is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
It is 1968, Buenos Aires. A young correspondent for Canadian News arrives to look around and measure this beautiful place, Argentina. His name, Conrad Black. I welcome Conrad Black, the distinguished biographer writing in the National Post, reflecting on Argentina now and a decision coming this fall for the new presidency. But at the same time, Argentina then, 1968. Conrad, good evening to you. What are your memories when you first arrived in Buenos Aires? Good evening.
Good evening to you, John. I landed in the morning, and I was wearing a blue suit as I traveled, very formal for 1968, and a blue suit and a tie, and I looked identical to the air crew. So no one asked me to go to immigration or customs. I just walked through, and I didn't know why, but obviously I wasn't going to. I didn't realize until later why it was. They just thought I was part of the air crew. And it started out very nicely, and I had a reservation at a hotel, and I just walked around, and I was astounded at what a lovely city it was, how beautiful the women were, and many of the street names and storefronts were Italian or German. And it just had the air of a European city, and I could see right away why it's called the Paris of South America. It isn't exactly like Paris, but it does have these blocks, block after block, very big city, I guess roughly the same size as Paris, with big squares, treed boulevards, and stone buildings. It's not so much high-rise city like New York as a traditional old city, but solid, fine stone facades on block after block, residential and office buildings, and somehow after a 10-hour plane ride from New York, where I took off from, I didn't know that much about it, and I just didn't expect a place that would remind me of Paris. The people, elegant, prosperous, stylish, and such a solid city that looked like, which is nothing but the truth, it had been there for hundreds of years. Many cities in the Americas do look quite modern, and Buenos Aires did not, and some of the cities that don't look modern look run down, but Buenos Aires did not. It looked like a well-maintained, solid, well-established, impressive city with a very handsome and purposeful population.
And the shadow over the city at the time was a man named General Juan Domingo Perón. That's the origin of Peronista. But we want to come now 55 years forward, because the city you describe is one I've only read about, a magical place that's more European than it is New World, except the Peronistas have been a weight on the population ever since. Why so? How so? Is there one explanation as to why this city and this country is not prospering today?
The only explanation I have ever heard or been able to come up with is precisely the one you said. It is amazing to outsiders, including me, to see how uniformly admired now Perón was. And it's very difficult for the outsider to grasp why that would be the case. Now, he and his famous second wife, Eva Perón, they did make a fine-looking couple, and he was a capable public speaker. And he did espouse authentic Argentinian nationalism, and he certainly made a strong pitch to the working class. So up to a point, you can see why he was popular. But the fact is, the currency deteriorated when he was there. Inflation got out of control. He did offend. He greatly offended the leaders of the church in Argentina, and he greatly offended the United States and his fellow officers, and the combination of those things forced him out. And there's no doubt the middle class of Argentina was not happy with him because of inflation and so on. But they haven't really been able to govern without him. And it's not because he himself was, in the abstract, such a capable head of the government. But he certainly rallied the people to an idea of Argentinian national pride and importance. And I think his wife's presence made it a glamorous regime, and up to a point that applied to his next wife, too. When he came back near the end of his life, they called him back, as you know, after he'd been in exile for nearly 20 years. And but today, everybody, all the parties are one branch or another of the Peronists. So it's the something Peronists or the something other Peronists. You say the liberal Peronists or the conservative Peronistas or whatever it is. And the present Pope, for example, is an Argentinian who is rather an admirer of Peron's. And it mystifies outsiders, but there it is. But the fact is, it never seems to work, but it doesn't lose its popularity. This is why this man that I wrote about in LA is such a change, because he is not a Peronist. And he says Peron ruined the country.
Yes, 55 years later, we come forward. There's a presidential contest underway. And as Conrad says correctly, Peronistas in all directions except one completely different politician, a libertarian. Javier Milei is his name. I learned from Conrad, mastiff dogs that he names after famous economists, one named Milton for Milton Friedman. That alone makes him recommended. But he's going up against the assumption that the ghost of Perón rules the country. Can he do it, Conrad?
I can't say with confidence, because I'm really rather out of touch. But the fact that he led the primary and won 31% of the vote in a multi candidate race indicates that something is finally changing down there. And I got the impression that the other parties are going to try and link arms to keep him out. But in my observations in various countries, and certainly in South America, when you get that kind of unnatural coalition to block a rising person, eventually that person does succeed, because the coalition of people who can't agree on anything else except their dislike of him is not really a legitimate political force. And it does look a little like some of these movements, like the Pujadists in France, although they were petty bourgeois, or the Five Star Group in Italy, led by a comedian, if you recall, with a kind of hilarious party slogan. There's an element of that. There's an element of everything else has failed, let's give this a chance. But there's also an element of a more intellectual sense of it's time for Argentina to live up to its potential, and it's time for something that, you know, to take a famous British expression, it's time for something altogether different. So I have the impression, this is why I wrote the piece, that this could be a decisive change in what is one of the world's important countries. I mean, it's a country of, what, nearly 50 million people, and it's next to Brazil and Mexico, the biggest Latin American country. And you know, it's a country the world takes note of. So, and it's an Argentinian pope. And, you know, Argentina is it's a well-known country. And so I think this has great impact and importance for Argentina, but it may go well beyond that. I mean, as of now, virtually all of the other governments in Latin America are left-wing governments. And this is something completely opposite to that. So it shows there may be a change in that whole continent. And I think almost any change is a change for the better.
Conrad Black, writing 55 years later about his memories of Buenos Aires then and observations Buenos Aires now. National Post. I'm John Butler.